Madam President, I move that for the proceedings of the roll call and under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant at arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The sergeant will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Richard Buhler from Valley Community Presbyterian Church in Golden Valley. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Loving Creator, we are eternally grateful for the privilege of living in our state of Minnesota. May we continue to be worthy guardians of our precious heritage of freedom and democracy. We pray this morning that your spirit of justice and compassion will guide our senators as they wrestle with the challenges, O God, that will lead them this day. We ask you, God, to give them the spirit of justice and compassion that will guide them as they wrestle with the challenges that face our state. Grant them clear and prophetic vision, O God. Grant them steadfast strength and grant them the courage to legislate. Let no impatience, let no expediency cloud their judgment and diminish the trust that's been bestowed upon them by the citizens that they represent. This is our prayer this morning. Amen.
Amen. I pledge
of the United States of America and to the Republic for one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Nice to see
Take
you
care.
Again.
Blessings
have a good
on
spring.
Wednesday.
Thank you. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Buck, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Marty, Lori, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reiner, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move first to the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith returned. Senate file number 1438, a bill for an act relating to administrative rules modifying requirements of a retired workers' compensation judge's provision. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. And, Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted. House file number 177, signed Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. The bill printed on the agenda will be given its first reading and referred as indicated. Fifth order of business, reports of committee, Senator Sieben. Senator Sieben.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted with the exception of the reports pertaining to appointments.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Sieben.
Madam President, I move that the reports pertaining to appointments be laid on the table.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Second reading of House bills. The House bills printed on the agenda will be given their second reading. Introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated. Motions and resolutions. This is an author's motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate resolution number 150 will be referred to the Committee on Rules. Senator Sieben.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. And there's a list on members' desk.
First bill on special orders is number 97 on general order, Senate File 1350, Senator Metzen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File 1350 dedicates the Dodd Road, St. Paul and Mendota Heights, Highway 149, in honor of Mendota Heights police officer Scott Patrick, who was killed in the line of duty. The officer Patrick was a 18-year veteran of the Mendota Heights Police Force and the father of two. He was shot to death on July 30th in West St. Paul during a routine traffic stop. This legislation calls for installation of signage designating the road as Officer Scott Patrick Memorial Highway. It does not change the road's name for legal or mailing purposes. This legislation is also requested from the Mendota City Council and the Mayor. I urge your support.
Is there any discussion? The Secretary will give Senate File 1350 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1350, a bill for an act relating to transportation, designating a segment of signed Trunk Highway 149 in Mendota Heights as Officer Scott Patrick Memorial Highway.
Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted that desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. There being 52 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 98 on general orders, Senate File 1854, Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, Senate File 1854 designates a portion of Highway 36 in Maplewood as the Sergeant Joseph Bergeron Memorial Highway. It was about 5 years ago, May 1st, that Sergeant Bergeron, a police officer, City of Maplewood, for 26 years, was responding to a call, a carjacking. At about 7 a.m., he's approaching two persons. Quickly thereafter, he's murdered. He leaves behind a wife, Gail, two twin daughters, Alexandra and Samantha, who will graduate this year, and many others in extended family. The community mourns yet today. Very recently, held a dedication service in his honor. Sergeant Bergeron's widow, Gail, would have liked to have been here today, but needed to be at an oncology visit for a family member. Officer Bergeron was a very humble man. He and the family did not actually request this designation. It was the community. Mayor Slawick, Chief Schnell, and many others have been strong proponents to provide this recognition. I want to thank Senator Kent for her efforts as well. And on behalf of the City of Maplewood and to the law enforcement, the people that put their life on the line, and other first responders, we pay tribute, we pay thanks for their service, and particularly for Sergeant Joseph Bergeron. I urge your support, and thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Herr.
Madam President, thank you. Sergeant Bergeron was gunned down near the border of St. Paul and Maplewood, so I at that time was before my service in the Senate here. It was 2010. And now as a state senator of Eastside St. Paul, I also like to express my condolence to the family of Sergeant Joseph Bergeron. His stone memorial is about a block from my house on English and Arlington, and I pass by quite regularly with thoughts and prayer for the family, and I'm sad that the young sergeant left this world too early. On May 1st, 2010, one of the safe and serene neighborhood of Eastside St. Paul, evil inflicted harm on the vicinity of Bruce Vento Trail and take away the life of one of our finest, a family man and a citizen protector. Sergeant Bergeron has given his life that day to prevent evil from causing more harm to people in my neighborhood. And I thank him for the sacrifice, and his life will not go unnoticed. May the Bergeron family find peace and comfort in due time. And I also like to express my regret to others whose lives may have changed that day due to the force of evil, and their family as well. May they also find peace and comfort. And I thank Senator Wieger and Senator Kent for carrying this bill to designate part of the Highway 36 as Sergeant Joseph Bergeron Memorial Highway. And I will dedicate my green vote to honor the sergeant.
Are there any other comments? Secretary will give Senate File 1854 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1854, a bill for an act relating to transportation, designating the segment of marked Trunk Highway 36 in Maplewood as Sergeant Joseph Bergeron Memorial Highway.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted that desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 52 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Sieben.
Madam President, I'd like to call for a brief recess for a moment of silence for these two fallen heroes.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate is in recess. Please, we'll come to order. The next bill on special orders is number 29 on general orders, House File 1725, Senator Wicklin.
Thank you, Madam President. House File 1725 is a agency bill that was brought to me by the Office of Administrative Hearings. The Office of Administrative Hearings conducts neutral and impartial hearings in contested case matters that arise from the public's challenges to state agency actions. House File 1725 is a one-line change to the Minnesota Administrative Procedure Act that allows the Office of Administrative Hearings to accept electronic filings in contested case matters. At present, they can only accept these filings by mail, fax, or by personal delivery, and they would like to be able to move to a more efficient manner of accepting filings. And accept them electronically. This would allow all parties, the state agencies, and members of the public to electronically file their pleadings, exhibits, and other necessary documents for contested case matters. There was no opposition in committee, and this did pass unanimously in the House. Madam President, I would like to offer the A1 amendment.
Secretary will report the A1 amendment.
Senator Wicklin moves to amend House File Number 1725 as follows, page 1, and this is the A1 amendment.
Senator Wicklin.
Madam President, the A1 amendment is the language that I carried in a separate bill this session, Senate File 1359. I would like to amend this to House File 1725 because it is so similar to the House File 1725 and what it intends to accomplish, that the Office of Administrative Hearings would prefer to have them both happen this session rather than only one of them. This bill was heard in the Senate and made deadline, but it did not make deadline in the House. Chief Administrative Law Judge Tammy Pust has discussed this with the House leadership to let them know that she would like to have the bill amended on so that it can proceed forward. And let me tell you what it does. As in the other bill, it will work in such a way that it will allow the Office of Administrative Hearings to accept electronic filings for rulemaking hearings. The other bill had to do with contested case matters. This has to do with rulemaking proceedings. And so it would allow all parties to electronically file their documents and not have to continue to use mail, fax, or personal delivery. So that is, there's also language in the amendment that memorializes current practice related to filings with the Secretary of State's office after rulemaking proceedings are concluded, and that is current practice. So, Madam President, that's the amendment, and I would appreciate your support in the amendment.
Is there any discussion on the A1 amendment? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield for a question?
She will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I don't recall this particular bill. Senator Wicklund, did this have a hearing in the Judiciary Committee?
Senator Wicklund.
Madam President, no, it did not. It was not required to go to the Judiciary Committee. It was heard in state and local government. Both bills were heard in state and local government.
Senator Limmer.
And Madam President, Senator Wicklund, when it was in committee, did it pass the committee scrutiny?
Senator Wicklund.
Madam President, yes, it passed scrutiny. There was no opposition to this bill. It doesn't change any of the current procedures regarding rulemaking. It simply allows the rulemaking documents to be submitted electronically.
Is there any more discussion on the A1 amendment? All those in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Is there any more discussion on House File 1725? The Secretary will give Senate File 1725 its third reading.
House File Number 1725, a bill for an act relating to state government, permitting electronic filing for hearings in contested cases at the Office of Administrative Hearings.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted that desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. Secretary will close the roll. There being 54 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 16 on general orders, Senate File 542. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, members, Senate File 542 is a bill relative to a very unusual organization within my district. It's a hospice that has been run by Our Lady of Peace for over 100 years. And it's a hospice that provides significant care to folks who are terminally ill. It's a hospice that operates without any public dollars. It operates totally through donations and the care provided by the particular order. However, this particular facility has been operating with beds that don't quite fit what the statute is. And so this particular bill provides an exemption to allow the continuance of the Our Lady of Peace facility. It's a bill that meets with the support of the Minnesota Association of Hospice and Palliative Care Facilities. It was heard in the Health and Human Services Committee without any opposition, and I would ask for members' support.
Is there any discussion? Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam President, and I'm wondering if Senator Cohen would be willing to answer a question or two.
Senator Cohen will yield. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Cohen, a couple of questions. Maybe I'll ask two or three, and then you can answer them, and then there may be others, I guess. But I guess one question I would have is whether this bill has a companion in the other body, whether this is going anywhere. But more to the point of the bill itself, current law says that you cannot have a hospice of more than 12 patients. And as I look at the language of your bill, you're adding to the current definition of what a residential hospice facility is. You're just adding a paragraph defining your particular hospice in your district to be a special exception of one, which I think may fall afoul of the constitutional prohibition of doing such things. But nevertheless, my question is, if the current law says you can't have a hospice of more than 12, why should we make an exception in this case and allow this one to be greater?
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Hamm, a couple things. First of all, the companion bill, I believe, is contained within the Health and Human Services Omnibus Finance Bill in the other body. Second, as to why I'm requesting this exemption, you're correct. This is an exception to current law. I'm requesting this because this is a hospice that predates the establishment of hospices in the state. I'm not the expert in this body on the history of hospice care, but obviously that's been a more recent progression in healthcare law over the last number of, I would guess, two, three, four decades. This particular home, which has been in existence for approximately 100 years, was obviously created prior to any state law being written governing hospice care. And it's continued to operate over the years, and it's been determined that to continue the operation, they would need this exemption. Now, if they don't get this exemption, what it quite possibly means, because they would no longer have the certified status that they would need, is that these folks, because the home is filled, what this would mean, obviously, that the residents within this home, obviously all of whom are in need of significant hospice care, would be forced to leave the home and find some other place to spend the rest of their lives. And so I recognize, Senator Hamm, that you raised the questions about why an exemption. No question this is unusual, but there's also no question that this is a very unusual, unique home. I mentioned in my remarks that this is a home that has continued without any public support. So they're simply asking the allowance to be certified, but not for the purpose of receipt of public dollars, because they don't get any. The particular order of these sisters has been taking care of these patients for many, many years. I think I overstated. I said 100 years. I think it's more like 80 years. So I apologize for overstating that. But certainly for a number of decades, they have been taking care of patients on a hospice basis for a long, long time. They've had they have approximately 250 people in the home in a year to 2 years. The average length of stay is only for 1 month, and they're asking that given their history that predates any hospice law or certification law, that they be allowed to continue as they have been. And again, I'll emphasize, Senator Hamm, not for the purpose of receipt of public dollars. They get no public dollars.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Cohen. And I am certainly want to be very clear. I do not oppose the idea of having the Our Lady of Peace home become a hospice. I'm certainly not in opposition to that at all. I'm not familiar with them, but I believe your testimony to the great work that they do, and we certainly, at least I certainly, would support the continuation of that, although I'm not quite clear on your assertion about public money. My understanding is one of the reasons that we should do this is that it would then allow that facility to be a recipient of Medicare dollars, which I'm guessing that currently they are not. So part of the effect of changing the law is that they would become, in fact, eligible for public support, which, as I understand it, and I may be wrong, is important to the continuation of the operation of the home. Maybe you could correct me, but that's what I'm understanding.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Hannah, I apologize. No, the certification would allow them to become Medicare eligible relative to the patients, but in terms of any other public support, they would not be receiving any. And I'm sorry for not clarifying that.
Senator Hann.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Cohen. I also am looking at the handout that you provided to members from MNHPC, which I take it to be an association that is generally, the network of hospice and palliative care, so an organization that advocates on the behalf of hospice. And they do say that they support this exception, but they also say in that same paragraph, this is the last paragraph in the letter that you provided, that it says that they recognize that the limitation of 12 beds may not meet public purpose, as evidenced by the desire of other hospices to increase the residential. So it seems like what they're saying is we certainly support this exception, but they would certainly support a change in the current law, which might make sense. And so I'm wondering, Senator Cohen, if by a verbal amendment we struck your new language in your bill, the lines 1.14 to the end, and just changed on line 1.12 the number 12 to 21, if that would facilitate more broadly and maybe more constitutionally the purpose you're trying to accomplish, and would you support that friendly amendment?
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Hann, obviously I cannot support that as a friendly amendment. My intent with this legislation was to deal with a particular unique situation of, as I mentioned, a home that has been in existence for 80 or so years, looking to try to continue the service that's provided. As I mentioned at the outset, I'm not the expert on hospice care in this body. I do not know what conversations have taken place within the appropriate committee, the Human Services Committee, either at the Policy Committee chaired by Senator Sharon or the division chaired by Senator Lori. So I cannot speak to whether or not it would be appropriate to allow for more hospice beds in a facility. That's a much broader conversation that goes beyond my capability. I'm looking for providing some help to folks who are in a facility that has been of huge benefit to this particular neighborhood and to a somewhat broader collection of folks who've utilized this home for many, many decades. That's all I'm trying to do. If it's appropriate to enlarge the statute relative to more hospice beds, there are other people in this body who would need to speak to that. And to be honest, at this point in the session, if that's to be done on the floor, so be it. I certainly would not want this bill returned to committee when we've passed the committee deadlines.
Senator Hann.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Cohen. And I certainly would agree. I'm not advocating that we return this bill to committee at this point. But there may be other members of the floor who might be able to speak to this. I'm just raising the point because I know we've had these kinds of restrictions in other parts of healthcare policy. I have not been a very strong proponent of putting an arbitrary limit by saying, well, we're going to have only so many beds in a facility and somehow ration care on the basis of a legislative act like that, to me, is very arbitrary, doesn't really address the needs of the state. And so I just was wondering if it would meet your purposes more broadly if we tried to make a step in the direction of not doing that by just broadening the definition of what a hospice is and making it allowable to have more than 12 beds. But if you're resistant to that, I'm certainly not going to try to force you to take that on your amendment. As I said, I have no objection to trying to help out this home. But as I said, there may be others in the body that might have more to knowledge about some of these things. And if there's a willingness on the part of others in the body to make this change, I certainly would vote for it.
Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Madam President and members.
I find it interesting, again, that we pass bills around here, and I understand one size doesn't fit all, but we pass bills around here, and then we come to the floor and we ask for exceptions. And many a times that exception is probably a pretty good idea. And many a times there's probably a lot of other people, other organizations that need that same exception. But we seem unwilling to make exceptions other than just for one or two on a bill. Wasn't long ago we had the same conversation dealing with elevators. And we come for an exception on one area, one location. Yet I'm sure there were several other people that have the same issue, but there was no help for them. Here we are today, same issue. I am sure there are several other folks that need the increase in the bed numbers and that very likely qualify and very likely do a very good job. But again today, we're not willing to do that. We just want to make one exception. And when we keep coming in and making these exceptions, it tells me that maybe we need to be looking at the overall statute that deals with this. And so I hope that in the future there's a willingness to do this and not just come in and ask for one exception. If there's an exception needed, let's see how many other people this would affect, and maybe we need to make that exception, not an exception, but change the statute. I have no problem with this bill. I will vote for the bill because I think that it's very likely needed and very likely a good idea. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of other people that are probably thinking this would help them too, and we're saying no, not today.
Is there any more discussion on Senate File 542? Secretary will give Senate File 542 its third reading.
Senate File Number 542, a bill for an act relating to health, modifying the definition of residential hospice facility.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted that desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 53 ayes and 2 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The last bill on special orders is number 51 on general orders, House File 1127, Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File 1043 allows credit unions to conduct savings promotion raffles to encourage people to save. Following the passage at the federal level of the American Savings Promotion Act in 2014, which removed the federal barriers that prohibited banks and thrifts from offering prize-linked savings accounts, states have passed laws to expand the opportunity for the residents to save money. This bill removes the state-level barriers to banks and other financial institutions to establish and regulate the prize savings products. Those savings accounts, which essentially treat every deposit as a ticket in a drawing, with every preset dollar amount deposit in a participating financial institution up to 10 in a month, a saver is entered into monthly and quarterly prize drawings. These accounts can be found currently in 9 other states across the United States and in dozens of countries across the world, including Brazil, Germany, Japan, Mexico. Since 2009, members, credit unions in the United States offering these prize-linked savings accounts have helped over 50,000 members save $94 million. So I'm asking for your support in this effort and ask for your green vote. Thank you.
And Senator Jensen, the House file has come over, so this is House File 1127.
Thank you, Madam President.
Is there any discussion on House File 1127? Secretary will give House File 1127 its third reading.
House File Number 1127, a bill for an act relating to financial institutions, providing for savings promotion raffles.
Secretary will take the roll. Have all members voted? All members having voted that desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 54 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. It's the end of special orders. Are there any announcements? Senator Dibble.
Madam President, the Conference Committee on Transportation Finance Bill will be meeting 1/2 hour after the final body adjourns, which in this instance will be 1/2 hour after the House adjourns, and we're meeting in room 200 of the State Office Building.
Are there any other announcements? Senator Latz.
Madam President, the Judiciary Conference Committee will meet 15 minutes after the last body adjourns in room 400 South State Office Building, and it's a pretty tight in there, so if you want a seat, get in there quickly, although we'll save a seat for the Conference Committee members.
Are there any other announcements? Without further objection, the following members will be excused from today's session. Senators Bach, Peterson J., Westrom, Ortman, Rood, Housley, Osmick, Peterson B., Goodwin, Pratt, Ingebrigtsen, Reinert all day, Senator Benson 11 to 11:20, Senator Nienau 11 to 11:30, Senator Weber 11:35 to the end of session. Are there any other announcements? Senator Seidman.
Madam President, I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Monday, May 11th at 11 a.m.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned, and have a good weekend.